My testimony at the age of 15, and I'm not going to give my testimony, I'm just going to bring you to that place, on my deathbed. For 10 weeks, tied to the bed, and convulsions, and not knowing what to do at the age of 15, just coming 16. And God miraculously healing me off that bed. You know, said I'd never be able to do anything, never talk, never walk, never travel. I've been in America 35 times. I've been around the world at Rome many times. I'm back in Scotland. I don't know how even God brought us here, but we're here. You know, my testimony in 1959 after that. I had an uncle who lived in Canada. My parents weren't Christians at that time. And my uncle said, he's going to be all right. We're praying for him. God heals him. And first time ever I heard that God heals. And that's my testimony, how God miraculously healed me before I knew him. And some 6 months after it, in 1959, at a meeting in a Methodist church, again, Jesus found me. And that was 51 years almost to the day. I found Jesus found me, and I found him, and I had times when I was far away, times I wasn't close to him, but you know, he got a hold of me. He told me when I was 15 year old that I was going to be a minister. How was ever I going to be a minister? So ill, couldn't go to school, no education, no nothing. And then my wife and I came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1981. I want to tell you, there is a Holy Ghost, whether you believe it or not. There is a Holy Ghost. No, I was just sitting there thinking, I'm glad there's a Holy Ghost, because I'm listening to how many nations that have been in this place this morning. There must be half of the world nations in this place, and interpretation and all the rest. Sometimes it's hard to understand the Scotch folk, but then you get Swedish folk, and you get English folk, and you get people from, I don't know where, all over the world. You're trying, what are they saying, you know, eh? And I said, what did he say there, you know? I'm glad to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I know Jesus Christ not only as my Savior, I know Him as my healer, I know Him as my deliverer, I know one day and I'm going to meet Him face to face, He's coming back again. Amen. And He's bringing us back to Himself, and that's the great privilege that we have as Christians, that one day, there's an old hymn that the chorus sings, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, wonderful day that will be. But I want to ask you a question this morning, as I turn to the Word of God. You know, we're here this morning and we're in the presence of God. Praise God, that's wonderful, isn't it, to be in the presence of God. Let me share just a little bit. We just had a conference at the beginning of September. Sarah was over for a couple of days with us. And just before the conference, we had been praying and said, Lord, one thing that we want your presence. We want your anointing. We just don't want to have another 10-day conference where people will come and they'll get up and share testimony and they'll feel good and all tickly, but that it will change their lives. That lives will be miraculously changed. And can I give a couple of testimonies? One gentleman who came, who was in the praise and worship group that we were having, he took seriously ill some 25 years ago and put on a lot of weight and lost all the power, all the feeling in his legs. He had a carriage set up on the stage and he sat up at the front and he was a brilliant guitar player. He just sat there and he was a brilliant singer. But he had no feeling in his legs. One thing that he hadn't for 7 years, Doreen. And he went home. Nobody prayed with him. Nobody touched him. And he miraculously got healed. Got up the next morning, the feeling was back in his legs. Now, you know, that's a miracle. But his toes were still cold. His legs were warm, but his toes were cold. He said, Lord, I don't believe you do a part job. You do a finished job. He said, I'm going back the next night and I want my toes to be healed. Guess what happened? I don't need to tell you. He got his complete healing. Another lady that came, who was coming to our church, she heard his testimony and come back a few days later and she got miraculously healed, one of her knees. You see, we don't need people just to pray with us. We need God's presence to touch us. We had another man, doing, could I have a drink? We had another man that came from the island of Orkney. Him and his wife came to be with us. And they went through a horrible time in their lives. His wife was locked up for 12 months in a home because they said she was mad. Their lives were upside down. And the man, he was a wonderful man of God, but his head was down. He couldn't look you in your eyes hardly. And he came to us and said the full week. He came a day before the conference, a day after it. You know, we're just back from the Orkneys just before we came here. And God transformed their lives. He says, I've got a new wife. His wife had been taking medication for what is it? Arthritis and other things, and she got home and she forgot to take them. That was 2 weeks ago. We never took a tablet. Completely healed. Amen. See, I want to tell you, we can stand up here and sing and talk about the power of God, but do we know the power of God? Do we bring His presence with us when we leave here? Are you bringing the presence of God with you to your home? Can I ask you a question? Or some questions this morning or this afternoon now. What controls your life? What controls your life? And I've written a list of things down here. Is it riches? Is it money? Is it poverty? Is it people? Is it lust? Money? Pain? Anger? Sickness? Work? Is it your children? Or is it your parents? Is it TV? Is it the internet? Is it evil thoughts? Is it trying to please people? Is it chores? Is it home? Is it worry? Is it fear? We could go on and on and on. I look at people, even people of God. And sad to say, there's something controlling their lives that has taken the place of God. One of the big in things at the moment is internet and Facebook and all the rest of it. And I honestly open Facebook and have friends and I never write to them because do you know what? I have found that it has become a gossip channel. It's a gossip. They're gossiping about themselves, about everybody else, and everybody knows about them. But, you know, I look at the internet, and I never see Jesus' name mentioned. Or very, very seldom. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. But I want to look this morning, and I feel I want to just share this passage of Scripture with you, because I want to let you know, as some of you already know, who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? You see, the moment that you get born again of the Spirit of God, and if you're not born again, let me tell you, you need to be born again. If you're not born again, let me tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, no going backtrack or nothing, you will not enter the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that. There's a heaven to win and a hell to lose when you're born again. And if you're not born again, very clearly, Jesus taught it, that you must be born again. But for those of us that are born again, who are we in Christ? The Bible tells us that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. See, when I got born again, or you got born again, Christ came, made His abode in our heart. When we asked Jesus to cleanse us from all sins past, present, and future are dealt with at Calvary by the shedding of His precious blood. And when the blood is shed abroad in your heart, let me tell you, you are cleansed. Jesus enters into your heart. But not only does Jesus enter into your heart, but God makes His abode within us. We've got God the Son, we've got God the Father. But guess what? Our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. So in comes the Holy Spirit. We got the full Godhead living within us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What are we doing for God? Ask that question this morning. What are you doing for God? Are you coming into church just on a Sunday morning and having a happy, clappy time and going out and boom, back to the world again? But I want to look at this particular scripture because Ephesians is a special book to me. Paul was teaching here and of course in Ephesians chapter 3 I'm going to turn to. The Jewish people at this point were God's people. And the Israel was called to be God's people at this point, and the Gentiles were the people that were far away from God. But, you know, when Jesus come down and died on the cross, and as he died on the cross, the veil was rent in two, and all mankind could be partake of the goodness of God, that the Gentiles could enter in. And here in chapter 3 and verse 1, let me read the first 13 verses to start with. I believe that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, that you and I, the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, whereunto I desire that ye faint not in any tribulation for you, which is your glory. Let's pray. Father, again, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, I ask you, Lord, that you will bring a revelation knowledge of the mystery of Christ to each one of us this morning. I ask you for your presence, Lord. I ask you for your anointing. And Holy Spirit, come and have your way in Jesus' name. I'm glad that Jesus came that we could become the children of God. And here Paul was telling the Gentiles who they were in Christ. That we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ of the Father. Everything that God has, sorry for shouting just the anointing, I don't do this. Everything that God has is yours. Everything. No exceptions. Some people preach, and let me tell you, they're preaching a false scripture that healing's not for today. Some people are preaching that you don't get filled with the Spirit. Yet Jesus Christ Himself, our Savior, our Lord, when He walked down the road with His disciples, He breathed His Spirit. That was the Spirit of Christ. But He said, there's another, the Holy Spirit is coming. Go you and seek Him out, and He will fill you, and He will show you the things to come. He will tell you the things of the Father. If you look at Acts 2 and 35 and 36, I think it is, it tells us it's not only for you, but for you, for your children, your children's children, to as many as the Lord our God shall call, and as many as are far off. That's you and I. That covers us all today. That's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the working of the miracles and the things of God that God wants to see in operation amongst His people. No, we are over on a month's break. Well, we're supposed to be. You never get a break, will you? You never get a break in the kingdom of heaven, let me tell you. And our phone, so I have my mobile phone with me. I hope you have it all turned off. I have mine on silent this morning, okay? This thing here goes with me. And praise God for phones, but praise God sometimes not for phones. But you know, we had a lady, and I just want to tell you something. These are things of the spiritual things. We had a lady called us, a lovely lady. And her she's a beautiful Christian, and her daughter and her husband, her son-in-law, and all are wonderful Christians. Love the Lord. And the little girl, what age was she? 8? 6. And a boy, and they went on holidays some 4 or 5 years ago, or whatever it was, and went back on holidays this year. But whatever the wee girl picked up when she was on holidays was as if the devil was in her. And hadn't slept for months and months. Now that's a horrible thing when you see your daughter, which is your flesh and blood, in a situation like that, where she had, where neither husband nor wife had slept for 2 months because of the love for their child. The enemy had come in to the house through a child by something that had happened in a building that they'd stayed in. I want to tell you, friends, Satan is real this day. He's not in here, but he's out there. He's the prince of the air. And we need to be very careful what we do and how we let the enemy come in. We need to close all doors. We need to apply the blood, and especially to our children. We had a pray, and Doreen was up the night before last night, half the night praying. Well, not for that, I spent an hour or something on the phone. The little girl got delivered, and that was a wonderful thing. But to see people set free. You know, a brother was saying about prayer, and I believe in prayer, and I believe in the power of prayer. Our home is a home of Donnie has been there, and a few others if you have been with us, and our home is open 24/7. 365 days in the year, 366. We've had people on Christmas Day come to our people and got healed. 7 days a week, we never know who walks onto the street. Because I dare to believe who I am in Christ. And I'll tell you, if the body of Christ would wake up to who they are, this nation would be changed in a moment of time. You know where revival starts? Starts in the body of God. We are His body. Amen. We are His body. You, if you're a believer, you are His body. And you've got power and authority that has been given to you by God through Jesus Christ, His Son, to cast out devils, to set the captives free, to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, Jesus taught His disciples in Mark chapter 6, that wonderful prayer that is known as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. See, we pray, come Lord Jesus. Do we really, we sing it? Come, surely come, Lord Jesus. Well, I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus returns. Every curse of every sickness, of every disease will be broken. And Jesus has already paid the price on Calvary. You read your Bible and study your word. It tells you very clear that cursed is he that is nailed to a tree. And Jesus took every curse that Adam broke when the day he fell. Jesus, the second Adam, came and he nailed it and he took every curse upon himself. That's why, you know, the earth was in gross darkness for 3 days, for 3 hours. The rocks ran. And the graves give up the dead. Those old saints that were in paradise became alive again. Amen. And we have, and I'll tell you something, we have something to shout and sing about. Because we know where we are going. And I know who's coming with me. And I know I'm going to meet Jesus face to face. And that's going to be a wonderful day. But what about the times when you're in your room on your own? Or what about the, you know, I met a man just a week ago and over there in Gosby and near Barora, if you know where that is. And he was standing on the side of the road and we got him in and he was the worst of drink. They called him One-Eyed Willie. He had one eye and they called him Willie. So that was his nickname. We found that out. But you know what, I started to tell Willie about Jesus. And he knew all about Jesus. And I believe that Willie was born again, but he was caught up with the bondage of alcohol. Went into his home. And I'll tell you, you wouldn't want to be in his home. He had one dog. Don't need to tell you anymore. I don't think there was such a thing as a brush in the house. There was in the middle of the living room, he had emptied up a bag of coal. The seat, you didn't want to sit on it. I was asked to sit down. I had to sit down gracefully. But you know, one thing that we done, there's an old man with me, we put our arms around Willie. I said, Willie, you know Jesus loves you. And Willie started to cry and weep. You know, we can talk about praying and all the rest of it, but are we walking our talk? I haven't even gone into the scripture yet, but what time do you normally be over? I want to look at this verse 6. I think this verse 6 in this scripture is the one that I want to take up to the Gentiles. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs, what does that mean? The man Willie that I was, and that's why I'm giving him, using him as an example, the pastor up in Orkneys, had came to us and he I don't know if he had much frost here last December, but Willie had his home froze up and his boiler burst and all the things, and financially Willie was broke. You know a broken man with head down and he was just broke, and not only financially but in many ways, yet he was a man of God. When we got up to Willie, I couldn't believe that I could see the same man. That's the only way I can explain it. He was walking his head down when I saw him the next time. His head was out, and there was a grin from here to the back of his head. You know what that means, you know? Filled with joy. He says, John, you can't believe what he says. From I have come home, he says, my life has turned right around. And he says, I got an inheritance for £100,000. It was there all the time, and he didn't know about it. And so it is with each one of us. It's there all the time, and we don't know about it. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ of the Father. Everything that the Father has is yours this morning. Come on, do you believe that this morning? Do you really know who you are? You know, we should be excited when we're dancing around and saying, praise God, I'm so happy I'm joint heirs with Christ of my Father. And you are. But the Word of God tells me. And if the Word of God tells me, then that's the truth. And you cannot change it. You will not change it because it is written. What is written is written. Amen. So we are joint heirs, partakers of God's promise. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Throw you in a few scriptures. You want to back it up? Romans 8:15-17. I'm going to turn to it this morning. Galatians 3:26-29. Galatians 4:5-7. We're of the same body of Christ. We're the church of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We drink of the same spirit of God's people. See, God loves the whole world. John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But you know, somebody said we don't have anything to do. We do have something to do. Because it says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. We have to believe that he is the Son of the living God. And I want to tell you, you cannot change this scripture. There are doctrines going around, and I'll tell you, stay a million miles away from them. There are many, many. I can mention them. You know, there are doctrines that Jesus didn't come from God. Let me tell you, he was the Son of God, and he came from the Father, and he was given by God to come down here to earth and rise again from the dead, victorious. There's scriptures that'll tell you that Jesus never rose. There was no victory at Calvary. Let me tell you, Calvary was a real place. Gethsemane was a horrible place of suffering, but he suffered and died for you and for me that we could be free. That's why he died. That's why he suffered. I want to tell you this morning, hell is a real place. I was going to speak this morning on Luke 16 over the rich man in Lazarus. Prime example. Rich man had all he needed. Wealth. He had scrumptious living. He lived on the best of good food. He had everything he needed. And there was a Lazarus licking the dog, was licking his sores. But you know the sad thing for the rich man? Lazarus died and went into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and he went down to hell. He said, if I can come back and tell my brothers, let me tell you, too late. He said, you can't do that. They have my word. And we've got his word this morning. We've got his word to tell us who we are. We've got his word because it's written. It's written. It's down here. It's in black and white. You can't get it any plainer. I can't tell you how you can get it any plainer. It's black and white. And it's the truth. And it's in the truth from the first of Genesis to the very end of Revelation. And every word in between it, it's the truth for you this morning. Yeah. Who you are in Christ, where you're going, everything about it, it's all written. God's word, it's there for you to see. No question, no doubts about it. But you know, and it tells us that we're partakers. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. By the gospel. Are we partaking what God has for us? Are we enjoying the fullness that Christ has for us? You know, I hear so many people, and we hear it all the time because we minister to, our church is different. Our church is an outreach church where people come in and they travel miles and they don't come to church because it's too far to travel. Sometimes people travel hundreds of miles. But I asked the question, and we always ask the question, are you born again? You know, there's one of three answers that I get from people when you ask them the question, are you born again? One is, yes, I am born again. I know I'm born again. One is, well, I hope I'm born again. And the other one is, I'm not born again. Now, the hope and not needs to know that they are. They do. I know where I'm going. Because the Bible tells me that where I'm going. He has taught me, Jesus said. He said, didn't they? Yeah, I see some head checking and somebody's looking at me as if I had two heads, but I've only got one head, all right. But it's the truth. Yeah, it is. Just because you come to church and join in with a worship group at the front doesn't say you're born again if you haven't made that decision. It's a decision you make. You know, have you decided that I'm going to follow this Jesus? I want to tell you, friends, it's the greatest decision that anyone will ever make in their life. The greatest decision is the deciding that you're going to follow Jesus. And guess what? When you decide to follow Jesus, He never leaves you. And He never forsakes you. And I think it was Donnie said this morning that round about and underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. Not wonderful? That's who we are in God. Let me tell you a story. Some of you know our son Roger, our younger son. He has been on the island. He's been here. Hasn't he, Roger? Yes. During our conference, Roger, he works on the farm. My son has a farm, and Roger works with him, and he was doing a tractor drive, and he was drawing a slurry from one farm to another. And he was up and down the road, you know, a tractor goes up and down the same road maybe 50 times in the day. But this particular time, and the tractor's a pretty good tractor, in good order, and you know what a tractor is. Everybody knows what a tractor is, don't you? Well, it's a thing with four wheels and a steering wheel and a cab on it, and you put someone to hang it, okay? And he was coming flying, you know, when a farmer's going, the tractors are all automatic now. You just press buttons and you open the throttle and she just jumps up the gears herself, you know, and she goes 40 kilometers an hour, they do now. And he's coming up with this particular time to a real sharp corner. And just before the corner, the tractor died down to stop. He looked at it and it was full of fuel. Couldn't see anything wrong with it. It almost come to a halt. And guess what? A car came round the corner on the wrong side, heading straight for him. And just as it approached his tractor, it pulled out round him and away. And guess what? The tractor opened up again the way it went and never stopped it. Now, I want to tell you, that's the protecting of God that He has for our children and our children. And that's the importance of Christians walking close to God. It's important of believing who God is and who we are in Christ. I'm not so sure, but let me tell you, guess who told that story? Roger told it. Not us. He came into the church and he started to tell us what happened during our conference. Let me tell you, God's real, friends. The devil's real. Because Jesus said, the thief comes to what? Kill. To steal from you. To destroy you. But Christ has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you having abundant life? You know, I was just thinking of Willie and his inheritance that he got. He was there all the time. Do you know whose it was? Do you know where it came from? It came from the Father above, because the silver and gold is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. You know what? When on a sad in our church, I see it in our own church. I see people who are wonderful givers. The tithe, if they get £1,000 in, you can rest assured there's £100 on the plate. Plus. That's just the tithe. Then they're going to put their pockets out after that, and they're walking onto the blessings of God keeps coming in. There are others that will hook through their chains and they'll put, believe it or not, we get pennies, we get 2p's, and we get 5p's in the box, and they're telling me we should never get the lack of that. Because there's nobody on this earth or in this land that is earning that sort of money. Because a penny is only a tenth of 10p, and there's nobody on this earth just earning 10p. Come on, is it real? And they're always crying poverty. I have nothing, poor me. And they're moaning and groaning, and guess why they lack that? Because they don't know how to sow. You see, when you sow seed, and I come from a farming background, I know that if I plant an apple tree, I don't pick plums off an apple tree. And if I plant potatoes, and I dig them, I don't get carrots. The seed I sow is the seed that I reap. Come on, folks. It's real. God is real. I know, because I've been there. 1980, I had a business that went bankrupt. And in bankruptcy, I had a house that we had paid for, my wife and I had built 10 or 15 years earlier. And the bank took our house and put it on the market for 2 years. Let me tell you, this story is real, friends. It's not something I'm making up. I know I was there. It was me and my wife. She can tell you. We didn't get very much money. But the few pounds we got, we gave one tenth was set aside every week. That's the Lord's. That's going into the house of God. We live in that home today. Totally debt free. Not only, let me tell you, and I'm not boasting of wealth, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking of reality. The bank that tried to sell our house, we have how many? At least three bank accounts, all in the black with that bank. We have another bank that the church deals with two accounts, and they're all in the black. I'll tell you something. God honors. If you honor God, God will honor you because you are His son and you are His daughter. And if you've got if you are God's son and you are God's daughter, guess what? He's going to look after you. He's going to bless you because that's the nature of God. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out from heaven His blessings upon you. Down here, some people say, oh, that's for the world to come. No, it's why you live on the face of this earth. And you'll find out that what I'm telling you, if you're not walking in that realm, that you'll find out that that is the truth. That's God's nature, that He wants to bless His children. You know, when Jesus sent the 12 disciples, and I'll try and wind up. When Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, and He told them to go out and preach the kingdom of heaven, heal the sick, set the captives free, all the rest of it. There was one thing He said to them. Don't bring a purse, don't bring a script with you. Why did He say that? Just take one pair of sandals, the one you're wearing with you. Don't be burdened down and worrying with the things of this earth. Go back a few generations before that to the children of Israel going through the wilderness. Come on. Coming out of slavery. And for 40 years, their sandals never wore out. They never went hungry. Every day, God provided manna. There's no water to drink. God said to Moses, what have you in your hand? Moses said, of a rod. Strike the rock with a rod. And he struck the rock with a rod. Guess what come? Water, the very thing they needed. What have you got in your hand? Whatever you have in your hand, thank God I've got the Bible in my hand. Because everything I need is found in here. And so it is with you this morning. I know that you have a service afternoon and I don't want to keep prolonging, but I feel that I've told you what I have to tell you to encourage you. To encourage you who you are in Christ. Let me tell you, there's no exception. You needn't try to go to a wee corner and hide. Because there's no hiding place with God. You know what God said? You go to the highest heavens, he's there. Go down to the deepest sea, he's there. Go as far as the east from the west. So far. Is he there? He's everywhere. And he cares for you. And he loves you this morning. Amen. And his love. Love never changes. You know, we can... I often say to people, as I'm trying to close, it's very easy to love somebody that you love. Come on. Somebody says something about you and you don't want to go near them. Not as easy loving them, isn't it? But God says you to love them. Didn't I?
Yeah.
Come on. What about the person out there that's maybe in alcohol? Maybe in drugs? Maybe in a wrong relationship that is hurting? They need your love. They need the love of God. Immortal love. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for your great promises, Father, that you've given to us, your children. And Father, I pray over this people, your anointing. Pray, O God, as we go out of this place, Father, we'll go out changed. We'll not go out the way we came in. In the name of Jesus, I pray, bless. And let your peace rule in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.